Welcome to Mortals,
a podcast where we explore how humans have dealt with death throughout history.
From embalming and epitaphs to mourning and morgues,
we are taking a look at rites, rituals, and practices from around the world.
Mortals Podcast is for the morbidly curious or the curiously morbid.
This week, we are talking about the finale. This is the finale, folks. Season 2 is done after this. Now let's get on to the show.
Hello, mortals. Welcome to the season 2 wrap-up.
Boop, boop, boop.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, insert air horns here. Somehow we got to the end of a second season of doing this crazy thing that we've been doing.
As completely disorganized individuals.
Yeah, three very busy people trying to maintain a project that requires a lot of work in the background. But we got here, and we got here because of y'all, which is super exciting.
And our special guests this season, too.
Yes, absolutely. So I think we're going to start our season 2 wrap-up this time, not with introductions, because we did that last time. So if you're like, who are these people, go listen to our season 1 wrap-up. But we're going to start with the Spotify Wrapped, because we're all Spotify users, and also it's a very fun thing that Spotify just gives you as like a gift at the end of the year. That's like, hey, do you want some data?
I love data.
With some fun graphics and bright colors.
Yeah.
Ooh, and spinning shapes.
Yeah,
ooh.
There was even like quizzes that tested how well we know our own podcast, and not gonna lie, we failed them.
Every time we were wrong.
Yeah, we underestimated was the problem.
Which is, you know, it's nice to be surprised and happy about being wrong about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's interesting going through the Spotify Wrapped of my personal stuff, mm-hmm. and it's so different of an experience than going through this as a creator, because it makes me feel so fuzzy inside.
Yeah, so like to start off, a huge thanks for listening to us anywhere, but also on Spotify. It makes it worthwhile to be doing it instead of just yelling at each other about it.
But that's also fun.
It is also fun. Yeah, so Christina, do you want to give us the rundown on the Spotify?
Sweet. I will be your data analyst today. I'll be your... Who's the guy that sits at the computer in Kim Possible?
Your Penelope Garcia, your Agent Q.
Yep, I will be your Agent Q Penelope Garcia today. Very nice to meet you all. So, according to Spotify Wrap, our listener's podcast personality is described as the enthusiast. So, it says that our listeners are super fans. When their favorite podcast releases a new episode, they're among the first to know, going above and beyond to show their support. And apparently, there are 7 of you out there where we're your number one podcast. So, if you're one of those people,
thank you.
Imagine us giving you a big old hug.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Wild is what it is.
So, as I mentioned, thank you very much. To 26 of you, we are in your top 5. Holy moly. And to 37 people, we are in the top 10. So, if you're in any of those lists, or even if you just, like, casually stumbled on this episode, like, thanks for coming along.
That's pretty incredible for a tiny, independent, literally just the 3 of us, plus a special guest here and then doing this. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. You're making the dream work.
It's, as Mariah said, it's nice to know that there's somebody out there who's listening. We're not just screaming about death into the void.
Yeah, and people listening from 17 different countries on Spotify. Hello. Fantastic. Incredible. We love you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, including in the top 5, Italy and Norway, which none of us know anybody from those countries. So thank you in particular
yeah.
to Italy and Norway, because that's wild.
We didn't bully you into listening it into us.
Basically.
You're just here of your own volition, which is wild.
Still a huge thank you to everyone who is listening, whether we've bullied you into doing it or not.
Yeah, we appreciate you all the same. And I know there's a few people out there. I know one of my close friends, we were her number 3 podcast this year. Shout out to Alex.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
So Q coming in here with just like a little overview of our numbers, if you're curious. This is episode 19. So that's nearly 1,000 minutes of content that we've created this year, which is wild. We have had our voices heard in 17 countries. And season 2 is apparently a lot more popular, or at the very least, we just have more people listening to us in general this year by about 323% over last year, which is insane. So once again, thank you to everybody who has tuned in and listened to us cry, laugh, make jokes,
sing stupid songs,
all of those things. Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. So we actually reached out on our social medias, which you can follow us primarily on Instagram. As I mentioned, we do have some social media questions that fans and friends have asked us. And if you want to get a question in for next year, please consider following us on Instagram. And so without further ado, the first question that we received from Allie on Instagram is, what's your favorite historical death fact?
Yes, and this is the Allie that helped lead our episode on What Remains of Edith Finch and was also with us on the episode about talking to friends about death while we were all on vacation together.
That was fun.
Dear friend of the pod, Allie. So, favorite historical fact. This is the one question that we got that I don't have a prepared answer for.
I have one.
Lay it on me.
And I... Complete transparency. I went and I sought out interesting death facts when this question came in. Because I don't, unlike Mariah, I don't have a repertoire of death just bouncing around in my brain. The word mortician was invented in approximately 1895.
Ooh.
Because the word undertaker had so many bad connotations with it, just because these are people who work in death care. And it seems every once in a while, the death care industry reinvents titles and ways of speaking about it, which isn't unusual for things in general. Yeah. But the word mortician was invented at that time out of the word mort, M-O-R-T, mm-hmm. which is death, and ishin, which was hacked off the end of the word physician.
Mm. Oh.
So mortician. But it was somewhat of a etymological mess because the suffix ishian doesn't actually exist. Or it didn't actually exist at the time. It didn't mean anything.
So it's a portmanteau of mortuary physician, essentially.
Essentially. But there are lots of words that have ishin in it, but ishin isn't the suffix. It's that the words end naturally. The first part ends in IC, like optician, optic. But it's not mortic, it's mort, right? So anyways, mortician is a made-up word, made up in 1895.
Damn.
It was put out to, in, I think, a death care worker's journal, like, help us come up with a new name for our profession, basically. However, the suffix ishin has now been adopted into words. I think there's a few, but not a lot of them survived. But one did that we still use today, which is beautician.
Huh. Oh, dang.
I was going to say, I love how this is like peak Janine fact. Not only is it a death fact, but it's also a linguistic fact, a grammar fact.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just looking through and that's, okay, that makes sense. That's the one that caught my attention. I was like, ooh, let me read about this one.
Yeah.
So that's how my brain works.
Yeah. Christia, do you have one handy while I continue to percolate?
I guess the one death fact that comes to mind is something that we've already, like if somebody were to approach me on the street, which is kind of how I'm approaching this, and ask me, like, What's a historical death factor? A death fact. I guess I'd have to go to the idea that, like, there was a belief that your hair and nails continued to grow after death, but that is in fact a myth. It's because your skin recedes, and that, like, the hair that's still under your skin and the nails that are still, you know, embedded under your cuticles, kind of the skin recedes and it looks like things are still growing. I know that we've talked about that on the podcast before, but
yeah,
that's something that's always, I don't blame people for, like, people in the past for believing that hair and nails continue to grow.
Yeah, because that was a whole thing during the vampire panic, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, like, it's a multifaceted fun fact because it also ties into things like vampires and undeath.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's still people nowadays that believe that that's a thing that don't know, because it's just thrown around like,
yeah,
this is a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I had to settle now on favorite historical fact right now, I think it would be about the fact that the doctor who built the guillotine was supposedly born prematurely due to the sounds of someone being, like, broken on the wheel.
I remember that from your guillotine episode.
Yeah, the Dr. Guillotine.
That's a throwback.
Yeah. The irony involved in that, that he went on to try and, one, abolish the death sentence, and when that was completely impossible, tried to come up with a great equalizer in death, and then the terrible irony of that coming into law immediately before the French Revolution. Just, it's got a smack of that good narrative, because I also thought about it being to do with the body snatchers, because that whole saga, it's a long string of facts, as most historical records are. I think the inventor of the guillotine being apparently rumored to have been born prematurely due to the sound of somebody being broken on the wheel, I think is going to be my current favorite historical fact.
Death fact.
It's a very dramatic one.
Yeah. Yes. And also, hysterically, is mostly based off of a rumor that may have been posthumously added.
That happened all the time, though, so that also wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, the fact that that was a detail that was added to the story of Dr. Guillotine, whether that tidbit itself is true is another situation. But we're here to talk about death, not epistemology.
I heard we have more questions.
We do indeed. And I was just kind of taking a peruse at our previous episodes, because I don't know if this is going to be one that I necessarily have an answer for. Mm. But Freddie asks, were there any notable unanswered questions from any of the topics covered, whether questions you simply couldn't find the answer to, or actual unsolved mysteries of history, such as the location of Alexander's body? If you could choose just one such question to learn the answer to, which question would you pick? I guess that's really more like two questions, so.
I mean, yeah, I think they nailed it on the head. I want to know where Alexander the Great's body is.
Completely fair, yeah.
Where is it?
Where is it? Because, like, my secondary would be why sometimes when people were disinterred, as we learned in the taphophobia episode, with their own hair in hand, having been ripped out of their head, because that was the one thing they couldn't really explain.
Right.
But primarily, mm-hmm. I'm like, where the f*** is Alexander the Great?
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty solid mystery that people have been mulling over for eons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a big one, but I have a few little ones and a silly one. So yes, because people were found with hair in their hands, were there actually people who were buried alive? It seems there must have been, although it wasn't quite as widespread as one might believe. I also would like to know where Alexander's body is. Another one is, and I think this is answered by a separate video game, but what happened to the one son in What Remains of Edith
Milton.
Finch game that disappeared?
Yeah, the one who went into the
one that
book.
Disappeared. I want to know, and apparently that's in another video game, so someone told me.
How about you, Christia? What's your big one, and then what's your follow-ups, if you had the option to tag someone for having a very good first one?
I don't know. Like, I don't... There's lots of people that I, like... there are people unrelated or like we haven't talked about bodies, their bodies in the podcast, but like Alexander's a big one. Since I was very young, I've always wondered, like, once upon a time I was an archaeologist and I really wanted to do like academic archaeology, and I became a commercial archaeologist instead and sold my soul, and it was awful. And then I got into museum work instead. But I was always like, I want to know where Nefertari is. Because so much work has been done on trying to find out where this Egyptian queen was buried. So I've always I kind of follow news about her, you know, with interest. There's like a bunch of Roman emperors too that, you know, there's a lot of ancient bodies that we just don't know where they ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I have a satisfactory answer for this one, just because the topics that I covered this season are so broad and like non-specific. or at the very least, I can't think of a mystery that goes along with them. So I might have to just have a pass on this question. So I'm sorry, folks.
I also have an extra question that is a deep throwback, and I'm like, what is NASA's actual secret plan for civilian deaths in space?
Oh.
Ah. Yeah.
Isn't it that it doesn't have one?
Well, no, because for the astronauts, they don't, because astronauts are extremely specialized scientists, but they're increasing the number of civilians who are not hyper-trained and monitored for their health in space. So what does NASA have a plan for when Elon Musk gets somebody killed in space?
I gotta say, dude, that's still, I think, one of my favorite episodes.
Like, same.
You started the podcast.
It's been
like,
downhill
so strong
from there.
No, it has not. It was just like such an interesting and very like relevant topic to things that are happening. Like that's.
Yeah, I mean, we sent William Shatner into space, and nobody had a plan if that was too much for the man. Like,
yeah. So our next question is from listener Casey. And they ask, what is each podcast member's favorite morbid topic to discuss and why? Good question.
Favorite morbid topic.
I can start this one if you guys want.
Can I guess what yours is?
I think we know your answer.
Oh, if you, what do you think my answer is?
Ancient world and material culture.
Was that, I wouldn't consider that like a morbid topic though, would it? Like it's a topic, but is it
grave
necessarily
goods?
Morbid? Grave goods, yeah, you got me at grave goods. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, I guess I should also say grave goods. I'm a material girl. Yeah, I do love me a solid grave good. I like to see what people believed were important to bring with them to the afterlife. I'm also, this also is not surprising considering I've done two episodes on it now, but I'm really interested in like history and animals, specifically like death and pets, because as we've explored in those two episodes, we know about pets because of how much people loved them and because of how much care that their owners, their friends put into remembering them. And I think it comes back to love, you know. It's the same with grave goods. It's the dead person didn't get, like, they didn't choose what went with them. It's people who loved them that are, you know, it's an expression of love. And that's what I like. I like happy things. I like love. I love love.
I love love.
And, you know, humanity is actually good sometimes. And these little tokens and things, whether they're buried with our favorite cat or, you know, our grandma or a spouse or a sibling, are just like an extension of that. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that as my answer. What about you two?
I know that for me, and part of it's just a reflection that I'm kind of a pragmatic person, who also is an absolute fiend for narrative satisfaction, but the topics I always gravitate to are convoluted stories about body disposition. Which I'm sure everybody...
Is it the mystery?
I'm sure everybody's noticed this as a trend. So, like, the body snatchers, Alexander the Great's missing tomb, Vampire Panic. Like, all of this stuff that has to do with the practicalities of body disposition. I love that. It's fascinating.
What about it? Like, what's the draw?
I think part of it is the pragmatism part of it having a concrete impact on things, and also anything that tells a good story, because a good story is how you teach a person something in a way that is entertaining and fun, and they'll remember it because it's part of a procedure of steps to get from, like, point A to point B. I have worked as a teacher and a tutor and that sort of thing in the past, and while I'm not inclined to go into the teaching profession, it is something that I like doing, is to be like, do you want to know a cool thing? And they go, yeah! And then they enjoy learning the new thing. And so having stories that have both concrete material components that people can relate to by virtue of having a human body, plus the narrative structure that makes it fun and easy to learn about a thing, is just very enticing. It's tasty.
Nom, 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 nom. So two out of three answers so far are related to stories.
Wow. I don't think I have, like, a topic answer. I have, like, a flavor or a genre.
I think that's how we've all kind of answered.
Yeah. So, I really enjoy, although they take a lot of research and a lot of background searching and digging, I really like the ones where you narrow in on a historic period in a place, and you say, what is going on right now? But that requires a lot of effort and research that I'm not always prepared to do given the busy schedule, but I do really want to do more episodes like that because they feel very rewarding when I'm done. I feel like I've learned something and I've become a more well-rounded, knowledgeable individual for it. Not that the other ones aren't. Like, the eulogies episode, for example, was really, really fun. And I do feel like I picked up some interesting tidbits from that one, but I wasn't quite as satiated by it as I would be by, like, the Klondike episode. Taphophobia was probably
the deep dives.
The best example from this season. So, yeah, that's what I like to do.
It's very much showing your historian background with that, because
yes,
that's what we do.
Especially, I will add, especially when something is an aberration from the norm. Like, we've done this for so long, but there's this weird thing happening that's forcing us to do body disposition differently. Or there's this mania going around where we believe people are being buried alive and we have to find a solution to this. I don't know. Because history is about change over time. It's not just a set of dates and facts and all that kind of stuff. It's about how humanity and society and everything has changed over time. How humans not always evolve, but just change. Could be better, could be worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be samesies, but also changing in a weird way. That's why I love history. So
we have one more question from a listener, from Freddie. It's a light one. What is the go-to snack while researching or editing?
Yeah, I mean, while researching and editing, though, is a good question. Because, I mean, I, just to jump in here, am a chronic procrastinator who will just think about a thing for a really long time until there's a lot of external pressure and there's consequences, and then I do it all at once. And in those cases, I actually don't snack on anything because I go into hyper-focus mode and I forget that I need to intake calories of any kind. But while editing, I am almost always drinking coffee while I'm editing, even if I have to reheat it several times. But just coffee at a desk is such a work mode thing that I picked up while I was working in Japan.
I imagine the smell might also be like...
a little bit.
It's time to work! Not necessarily like actually drinking it, but just having like the vibe of having a cup of coffee on your desk.
By the time that I've put the amount of cream and sugar in my coffee that I usually put in my coffee, you no longer get that strong coffee smell out of it.
That's fair.
If I'm drinking during an episode, it will be tea. I don't really snack while we're recording because it'll show up in the audio. And I don't actually snack while I'm editing
either. Yeah, you kind of need both hands, like, on the keys and on the mouse for doing things quickly.
But the usual way that when I edit episodes, I edit in the morning. So I'll wake up at, like, 6:45, have coffee or tea or whatever I'm having in the morning, have breakfast, and then I'll start editing right away. And I got faster at it, and I've been finishing them in about 4 hours or so. So by the time I'm done, it's lunchtime. So then I listen back to my run through of the episode while I'm eating lunch. And that's just whatever I want to eat for lunch that day.
You guys have, like, such pragmatic approaches to snacking. Like, Mariah's, like, so, like, refined, like, a cup of coffee, nothing else. You know, eating and drinking is genuinely, like, my favorite thing to do on this earth, you know? I am here. I was put on this earth to eat good food and drink nice drinks.
We're pro hedonism here.
Exactly. You want, like, if I was a sin, I would be gluttony, and I own that with my whole heart.
which does make me wonder, just off the back of that, what all of us would, like, assign ourselves if we were sins, because you've already said gluttony.
Or, like, gluttony or lust. Like, I've got a lust for life. Not in, like, the sexy sense, but just, like...
the most wholesome form of lust.
Yes. I desire many things.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly good food. Because I guess gluttony is, like, an overindulgence, so maybe... I think maybe lust, just because mine is, you know...
For all the things.
A desire for things.
Yeah.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mine would fully be pride.
Yeah, I think mine would also be pride, but in, like, a very self-destructive way.
Yeah. Oh. Perfectionism.
Like, yes, the pride hurts myself most of all.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I say pride because I'm a bit of a control freak in my real life. Not of other people, just, like, of myself and the situations in which I find myself.
A nice little extra bonus question for us there.
So what do you weigh my favorite snack? I guess for real, though, for those that are just itching to know, I drink a wide variety of beverages, including tea and coffee. I'm very anal about my keyboard. I hate having grimy fingers in my keyboard. And I share my computer currently with my partner, who is a filthy little man, who I adore very much, but he's a filthy little man.
Filthy little man could also describe your cat, so.
I live with two filthy little men.
You've got a type.
Yeah.
So I do really enjoy, I actually love just, like, really simple stoned wheat thin crackers and cheese and pickles if I have them. That's, like, a solid go-to snack for me.
Some little, like, and canapes, almost.
Well, it's like, you know, just, like, block cheddar or whatever. Like, if I have fancier cheese, which I sometimes do, often do, or, like, baguette and cheese. Like, the Mediterranean snacks. Like,
you give me a loaf of French bread, it'll be gone in an hour.
Like, not even, no, not like, even 10 an minutes, hour. Dude.
An hour is if you're dawdling. If you're really savoring.
Yeah, I also like grapes, and right now we're recording this in December, December 2nd, and it's tiny orange season, so I love, like, mandarin oranges.
Oh, mekons are so good. Mm-hmm. So, so good.
So that, it kind of brings us to the end of the listener questions.
Which, thank you for sending those, friends!
Thank you!
Yeah! So, I have a question for you two. What was your favorite episode to research and record this season?
I think I've already spilled the beans without intending to. The Taphophobia one was really great. It's always great when you can get a good book and read it. I just love that.
And it just tells you everything you need to know, and you can type out your notes for your episode, and it's just...
Chef, it's such a compelling story as well. You two were talking about stories earlier, and it's just, like, humanity getting all swept up in something, which is what humanity does from time to time, not always. and trying to explain something that unsettles them and trying to fix a problem that they believe is happening, however well-intentioned they are, in really absurd ways. So that was a fun one as well, because sitting now in the present, we could laugh about it. Like, ha ha ha, that's so funny that they thought they needed to do all these things to make sure that people were actually dead. But that's kind of what science is. You just try things until you find something that works. So, I don't know. It was just really fun. Lighthearted, but also that, like, hit that sweet spot of the way I like to research and narratively frame things. So yes, that was my favorite, the taphophobia episode.
Yeah. I have a harder time with this because this is the season where I finally got to do Alexander the Great, which I've been talking about doing basically since we started this podcast. That being said, it was one of those topics that I started into and was like, there's multiple lifetimes of research about this person. So as much as I'm like, they turned out pretty good. I think my favorite for research was human composting. And I think my favorite for recording was New England Vampire Panic. And the difference is that the composting one, because it was something that I knew vaguely about, but like connecting all of the dots and learning about like the science behind it was really satisfying. And I felt really gave me the robust tools that I need to talk to other people about it in real life. To kind of bring them around to being like, hey, maybe this should be an option. Versus the New England Vampire Panic, part of the reason that I enjoyed recording that one so much is because I was very pleased with the way that I set up the narrative of being like, okay, we're going to start in the 80s, and then we're going to go back 200 years. And then, like, doing the jump around of connecting these seemingly disparate things to this localized phenomena, it just had that narrative...
Mwah. Satisfaction.
Yeah. So that one, yeah, for recording, I think, was that one.
Also, you weren't here for this one, but the talking to your friends about death, yes, was really fun to record as well, because we got to record it in person.
Which was weird, but
different,
so nice.
And presented different challenges, because people are at different distances from the microphone, so volume is different, and you have to make sure a little bit more tightly that you're not really talking over people as much, but to be in the same room having a conversation was really great, and I wish we could do that more often with the three of us, but unfortunately we don't all live in the same place, so.
Yeah, no, definitely honorable shout out to that one, and also to What Remains of Edith Finch that we did with Allie, because that was so nice to be like, we're getting an episode and neither of us have to do the research. We just need to play/watch a game.
Big, big thank you to Allie and to Ginny as well, who was on the Talking to Friends About Death episode. Thank you so much for joining us. That was wonderful.
I was sad that I missed those, but hopefully there will be more of those in the future. So I'm ashamed to say I only led 3 episodes this season. So I think it's really hard for me to pick a favorite of the 3 that I did, though, because I feel like they kind of sum up my prime areas of interest, like historical interest. We got the history of pets, got the pets massacre. I did Roman funerals and Memento Mori. Doing Roman funerals felt like something that I should have done a long time ago, just because of my background and because I, like I've said on these episodes, I have a classics degree in my naive undergraduate dream. I would have been an archaeologist working in Italy or Greece somewhere. And I really enjoy the opportunity to flex those muscles, mm-hmm, to, you know, talk about ancient Rome and things like that, and do research on that, on things that I don't know about, because I don't know everything about ancient Rome or ancient Greece or what have you. So I'm looking forward to that in season 3. But I also just really enjoyed the pets episode. I think that one was, it was a topic that, because of the pets massacre, mm-hmm, which is something that I had never heard of, you guys had never heard of, yeah, and I don't think most people have ever heard of. Like, there's so much focus on like World War history on battle movements. This is the type of plane they were flying, etc., etc. And I appreciate when people, including Janine, who's done a lovely project, her master's project on World War I history, and an aspect that isn't usually covered. I like looking at these big historical events and kind of turning these ideas on their head and looking at it from different aspects. So the Pets Massacre was looking at like World War II history from the perspective of a pet owner. And I thought that was really interesting. Like that one, I think, was the most satisfying for me. But they were all nice, so I can't. It's like picking between your children. It's hard.
Well, here's a...
I'll pick my favorite child.
I know what mine is. Well, I guess on the backside of that is the flip side of that, which we also asked in our season one wrap-up, of what is your favorite episode led by not yourself?
So, I kind of have an answer prepared for this. So, I went and listened to some of the episodes where I was not there. And I, in the Roman funerals episode, we talked about eulogies. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, and you had mentioned that that had come up in the anatomy of a eulogy. And so I was listening into it a couple days ago and I wanted to cut in so many times. I was just like, oh, I can say this about, oh, why wasn't I there for this? but I'm really glad that ultimately, like we kind of came full circle with that topic with me talking about Roman funerals and you guys had discussed like Julius Caesar, and then we talked about it. So in a way, I just found it very satisfying that despite showing up 15 minutes late with Starbucks, we still had that whole discussion.
Christia's at the gates. Let me in!
I was really glad that that kind of unintentionally, completely unintentionally, because I hadn't listened to the episode when we recorded the Roman funerals episode, it unintentionally came full circle, which I thought was really great.
I think as I was recording it, I was thinking, man, it would be nice if Christy was
on. Well, at one point you guys were like, I think Janine made some comments like, well, I'm not the resident classicist. And I'm just like, that's me and I'm not there.
The FOMO is intense.
Yes. As far as Mariah's episode, I loved the Alnwick prison garden. I loved the Alnwick poison garden. I thought it was really neat. And made me look into some things.
Well, shucks. Which, shockingly, was apparently our most popular episode on Spotify, which was not... I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. Me and the other listeners, you know, we've all got the same taste.
As fascinating as the Anwick Poison Garden is, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I liked the Vampire Panic episode.
That was a solid number two, I think.
Halloween!
Actually, also Alexander the Great, like the part two of Alexander the Great slaps.
That's the one you're in, yeah?
I also liked your Death and Pets episode.
The favorite Christy episode was, the Pet Cull of 1939. In the last couple of days, I've powered through almost the entirety of season two just to remember what was going on. But so I re-listened to that one, and that one had me like tearing up while I was cleaning this morning. Aww. And then in terms of my favorite Janine episode, I think it's got to be Taphophobia. And part of that is just because you were so stoked about it.
Yes.
and because it is one that has that narrative structure. There's that story to it, right? Of it being, like, translated with all of these additions. And then the translator, like, gets into it. It's almost like he got red-pilled into this paranoia. Like, I was re-listening to it thinking about how nurses of 20 years get tricked into being anti-vax. Like, that, like, the zeitgeist in the, and like you said, almost like a mania or a hysteria that forms around a very specific thing that no one was previously worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fascinating. Both the first time and then re-listening to it and being like, huh.
That one was one of the ideas that came out of that Death and the Afterlife book. So maybe that one will do me, lucky book, do me well.
But also, like, shout out to What Even is Green Burial?
Yes.
That was a good one, too. That one was, like, I listened to that one yesterday. while I was sketching out my dream desk at work. That was a good one.
That one was so long ago, I can't even remember most of it. But yeah, it seems like the natural way to go. I mean,
any thoughts or ideas for season three?
That's right. I mean, I think it's interesting to look at season three now that we've done two seasons and kind of seen how things have changed from season one to season two. So in season one, the lion's share of all of the editing fell on Janine.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were a little bit more consistent, I feel like we've really started to hit our stride in terms of how we do research, how we format, like our notes and our scripts, and also now that the rest of us have learned to edit our own episodes, I learned how to edit my own episodes. So it's a redistribution of the workload to make things more equitable so that we all can actually do the research and do all of the work that goes into it. I don't know about you guys, but I definitely feel like I got better at preparing to present and doing presentation of topics, which is really interesting, and also getting better at drilling in on the things that lend well to presentation.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like, because I prefer it when episodes are shorter, so that's kind of what for the episodes that I lead, I try and be as concise as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a little bit of experience with this already, just because I have the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But I have found overall that between the YouTube channel and Mortals, I have gotten better. And also just like giving tours at work and just like talking with people about things, my presentation is a lot better just in general.
You've built the skill.
It's like my first radio. Yeah, it's a skill that I've worked on. And I'm still definitely like, I'm not meaning to toot my own horn or anything here, but like, I still have a long way to go. But I'm happy with the progress I've made.
Mm-hmm.
Even just since like the beginning, like the very first episode, like I feel like in general, also just like our general quality of the podcast is better.
Yeah.
I know that I listened back to the very first episode and the audio is kind of crunchy and, you know, we're still learning.
I think that's like the story of every single podcast ever.
Yeah. And apparently we have done more podcast episodes than the average podcast person, which is cool. So
yeah,
you know, we've stuck to it, we're consistent, which is probably a lot easier because we're three people instead of just one person by themselves. So some weeks you just show up and you listen to somebody talking about poison gardens or tapophobia or, you know, the pet cull of 1939, you know, which can be a nice break if you're feeling overwhelmed. Or sometimes we'll rearrange the way episodes are so that Janine gets to talk about World War I history around the anniversary of November 11th. Or Mariah wants to talk about the Vampire Panic. We are all very flexible, but we've also remained, myself excluded, fairly consistent, which is great.
I think for myself, I never really felt from the beginning like any nerves about presentation or anything like that. I feel like maybe I'm not super prepared every single time, but I feel pretty well prepared in general with the information that I come with and the way that I want to talk about things. But sometimes I am my own worst enemy, and the way that I have arranged my notes are not the way that I will turn out as a good episode in the end. So I would love to improve upon that in the future.
Yeah.
But as far as like the presentation of things, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
I do tend to, and this is just the way that I am in general in real life. Sometimes I'm looking for that specific word that I know is the exact word that means the exact thing I want to say, but my brain will pick up other words that are like close enough, but I want to find that exact word. So sometimes like my presentation can be a bit stunted in that way, which I do realize, but work in progress.
Yeah.
But I do, I just really relish finding that exact precise word that means the exact thing that I want to say, because that's what language is, right? There's a word. The English language is so extensive. There's a word for, like, everything. So if you hear me doing that or pausing or having a moment like that, then that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm just trying to do it because I want to communicate precisely.
Effectively.
I just did it. I literally did it.
Yeah, we watched you do it, which is pretty funny. Yeah, and like season two, we had our fair share of hiccups. We kind of unexpectedly had a long hiatus, which kind of changed workload around. It's fine. This is not a call out.
We are humans.
But yeah, going into season three, hopefully we'll be able to smooth out even more kinks, get more efficient, just on the up and up all the time on top of our normal full-time jobs and lives. Which, I guess, more back to the original question, do you guys have at least like one topic that you're super stoked to do in season three?
I've got a couple, like not one specific topic, but I think I mentioned this last year, but I really wanted to talk about music again.
Mm-hmm.
And like death in music is something that I'd really like to revisit. I'm really interested in the blues and the overlap with, you know, death and the blues and that sort of thing. I'll definitely be going back to the ancient world again. At one point, I think for this season, I really wanted to do like an analysis of Greek tragedy and death. But yeah, nothing concrete yet.
I have four things that I'm like, I want to have scripts done before February. But I'm like, the big one that I'm really excited to do is to talk about the terracotta soldiers. And,
ooh,
and that necropolis.
Nice. I was there once.
Ooh, there's a pit.
You can use a cheesy photo of me as a teenager standing next to one.
I'm excited to use that as the thumbnail. That and bog bodies are the two that I'm really gung-ho about for season three.
Those are good ones.
I don't like to make promises. I teased a topic last year that I never got to, so I don't want to disappoint people.
I'm the same way. That's why I'm trying to keep it vague, because I'm just like, I may do these.
I would like to, instead of my usual doing something around Remembrance Day, next year, if it will be allowed, I would like to do the one closer to Halloween.
Yeah.
I've never read Frankenstein. I would love to read Frankenstein and dig into all of that and like pair it with the novel. Yeah.
Could we do a little Frankenstein book club for that, maybe?
Oh, that would be great.
Yes, I think that sounds like a lovely idea.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
Yes, very, very much. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I'm sorry. Or maybe you were glad that I wasn't around. And if you are glad that I wasn't around, well, too bad, because I'm back.
Appreciate you very much for spending your precious, precious minutes of your life with these three hobby thanatologists, these three nerds, yelling into the void that is the internet and finding purchase in your beautiful,
thank
precious
you.
Ears.
We love you.
We truly do appreciate it so, so much, and we hope you stick around for season three whenever that may start in the new year. And until then, please have a very good winter season.
Stay safe out there, mortals.
Mortals Podcast is created, hosted, and edited by three morbidly curious individuals: Christia, Mariah, and Janine. You can find us on Twitter at @podcastmortals, on Instagram at @mortals_podcast, and on our website, mortalspodcast.com. Show your support, access bonus content, and help us keep ads out of your ears by joining our community at patreon.com/mortalspodcast. Our music is A Mermaid's Eulogy by Etienne Roussel. Thanks for listening, mortals. Take care of yourselves out there.
Bye!
Bye!
Thank you! Y'all are red!